Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Soccer tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, goal!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's a Tuesday. We're back in the usual spot. I'm Jason Longshore, your host. We got a lot of things to get into tonight. We are getting very close to the World Cup. We got a lot of World Cup kind of things to talk about. We're getting very close to a Champions League final. One team has booked their spot, and it's the first time in 20 years. We'll talk about that tonight. Got a chance to sit down in a media roundtable with Josh Blank yesterday. We'll talk about some of the things that came up in the roundtable. That will be coming up here in just a bit. Had a chance to catch up yesterday as well with old friend Carlos Bocanegra. He's got a new project that is very exciting. I'm very intrigued to see how everything comes together with what he's working on. You'll hear from him in hour number two. We're going to start with some very good news as of late. Atlanta United are rolling. Three wins in a row across two different competitions. This team looks like something a little different than what we were watching a few weeks ago. We'll talk about how that happened and kind of where this is going next. Three wins in a row. We haven't been able to say that since 2021, first off. Charlotte on the road. After our last show, last Tuesday, we weren't able to be there for that one in the Open Cup because Charlotte played the game. And I think what Mike described as a county park, basically, kind of had that feeling. It's where Crown Legacy and MLS Next Pro plays. They did not have space or possibly the facilities for a radio broadcast. So we called that one remote and we got through it. And it was a very good performance from Atlanta United. And then a very different kind of game on the weekend against Montreal where Atlanta fell behind. They had not come back to win a match in MLS this season where they had fallen behind. That was a big part of my talking points coming into the game. And they did that. And they had reversed the score by halftime. Really, really impressive stuff. And the last three wins have all come in different ways. So when we talked about Toronto last week, the win kind of in gritty conditions, it was cold, it was rainy, windy, just not pleasant. You grind it out, you get the result. You get that win, Alexei Maranchuk with a beautiful free kick. Then you go to Charlotte, and I wouldn't call Charlotte pretty either, but the win in the Open Cup was exactly what you needed. It was a controlled win. Charlotte rotated their squad. I don't know if that was disrespect for Atlanta or maybe an overinflated belief in some of the players who came into the team from Dean Smith. Some of the Charlotte fans did not like the lineup that was chosen. You'd have to ask him, and I don't know if he'd tell you a straight answer on it. I think Atlanta did what they had to do in that game. They controlled it. They kept control of the match. Alexei Marantchuk, again, very, very good. He's on a great run of form right now. He opened the scoring in the 22nd minute. He was combining with Luke Brennan on a give and go through the middle of the park. Around the top of the box, he shifts to his left foot to take the shot. And I think it takes a slight deflection and ends up looking even better. It was going in anyway. I think the deflection just popped it up a little bit. Second goal was Cooper Sanchez in the second half. And this past week was massive for Cooper Sanchez. He goes to Charlotte, gets his first goal with the first team. And then he was even better against Montreal. We'll talk about that here in just a second. Jaden Hibbert really didn't have a lot to do. He had one kind of dicey moment with the ball at his feet. Look, that's typical. I know that there's a lot of hand-wringing about goalkeepers with the ball at their feet. I get it. It's different. It wasn't something that goalkeepers, I don't want to say 10 years ago, because I think 10 years ago, goalkeepers were starting to keep the ball at their feet a good bit. 20 years ago, goalkeepers didn't do the things that Jaden Hibbert and Lucas Ojos do with the ball. That's okay. It's a different time. The trade-off for having goalkeepers who are better with the ball at their feet and being able to use them and build up and I think create some better build-up opportunities and some better breaks up the field, the trade-off is you're going to have some turnovers from time to time. You're going to make some mistakes because every player on the field makes mistakes with the ball at their feet. Goalkeepers are no different. Jaden Hibbert, again, wasn't really tested in any major ways. He made up for the mistake that he made, didn't give up a goal. He was solid. He got the job done. Jay Fortune made his 75th career appearance for the club. He is climbing the all-time homegrown appearance chart. The numbers, you know, again, this is a game where I think Atlanta was really good in the first half. Charlotte, when the game turned, maybe the stat sheet turned a little bit. It was 10-8 Atlanta in terms of shots. It didn't feel like that kind of a match. It felt like it was a much more controlling game from Atlanta. I mean, Cooper Sanchez talked about it afterwards. He said, I wouldn't say that was our prettiest football, but we came out with a 2-0 win, a hard-fought win. That's the difference. Now you're winning tight games. Huge difference for this team. And it felt like the game in Charlotte really helped feed what happened against Montreal. This is a team that is much more confident than they were a couple of weeks ago. This is something that I feel like has become a recurring conversation whenever I talk to Chris Thomas on the station. The confidence of this team, you can see it right now. And I think you saw it on Saturday night against Montreal. Again, you make a mistake in the buildup. We can sit here and argue Lucas Ojos putting an AMI high in a bad spot, an AMI high not doing the right things to get out of the bad spot, not just playing it long. I thought, in general, the buildup in the early stages of the match was way too slow and too methodical and too deliberate. And I get that you want to invite Montreal forward, but there was never the change of pace in the early stages. Now, that did change later. But in the early stages, it wasn't happening. And you have the turnover, and Montreal gets the goal. And then, just natural, you have a little bit of, I think the technical term that I would use would be wobbliness. You're a little unsure of yourself because you conceded very early. Montreal feeling very good about themselves and stepping up and chasing and going for things. I'd say by the 20th minute, Atlanta had regained control of the game and started to put their stamp on it. They were breaking Montreal's pressure. They were getting into good positions. And ultimately, you get two goals before halftime. Sabo Lobjanidze, he scored his first two of the 2026 season. He scored in the 41st. Alexei Marantchuk, two assists in the first half. He also set up Latte Lott in first half stoppage time. Cooper Sanchez had a big hand in setting that one up as well, winning the ball in the attacking half. Saba gets a goal in the second half early, again created by Cooper Sanchez, winning the ball in the attacking half. 3-1 win for Atlanta. What I talked about in my Longview column over at soccerdownhere.net, you saw that shift that I talked about. First 20 minutes, you give up a goal, you're wobbly, Montreal's feeling good about themselves. The game turned, and from the 20th minute through the third goal, Atlanta had the control of the game, and they had the momentum of the game as well. So if we're going to talk about Atlanta controlling, what, 30 minutes on the field, maybe 40, well, you didn't have to really control much after that because you weren't being threatened in huge ways by Montreal, and you handled it. You didn't concede. They had more shots after they fell behind by two goals. That happens. This is why stat sheets can be very misleading at times. I think it was a much more comprehensive win than the stat sheet would show you, because Atlanta, when they had control, was better than Montreal in the moments where they had, I don't even know if I'd say control, but at least 50-50 in the game. I'm getting to where I talk about games in that way. You have control, you're being controlled, and then the game's 50-50. And a lot of games have long stretches that are 50-50. When you have control, you have to maximize it. When you are being controlled, you have to protect yourself. When it's 50-50, win the moments. Create the moments, win the moments. These are the things you have to do to get wins on a regular basis. This run of 3 wins in a row, I don't think it's a fluke. Are you playing the best teams on the planet right now? No. And that's something you're going to get tested soon enough. But you can only play the teams in front of you. You're getting some of the things that we have been talking about, specifically the midfielders controlling things, the midfielders joining the attack. Cooper Sanchez has been a big part of that. The attackers moving more in the attacking third. You're seeing that. Saba was a huge influence on Saturday night. Even take the two goals away, he was moving. He was constantly creating danger. That's such a key element of what this team is doing right now that it frankly wasn't doing enough of not that long ago. Tristan Muyamba, Will Riley as the sixes right now, the midfield with Jay Fortune, with Cooper Sanchez. You know, this has been with Matias Galarza. This has been a very good midfield with 5 guys contributing right now. And I'll say something else that I've said lately when talking about this team and this run. Sometimes playing a lot of midweek games can be a burden and it can break teams. I think in this case, it has helped this Atlanta United team because you've had to see a lot of rotation. Just think over these past few games. I mean, this is the first week in a while that you're not playing in the midweek. We have seen Pedro Amador and Elias Baez at left back. Both have been pretty good. You've seen Inea Mihai. You've seen Juan Bettercall, who I think has been much better lately. Steon Gregerson, all play center back. No problem. You've seen Matt Edwards. You've seen Tomas Akob. You've seen Ronald Hernandez off the bench in Charlotte. Right back, no problem. You've seen Will Riley, Tristan Muyamba at the 6. In the 8s/10s/whatever you want to call them, attacking midfielders, the volantes, we're talking about Jay Fortune. We're talking about Cooper Sanchez. We're talking about Matias Galarza. No problems contributing. The wings/10s without Miguel Almiron as of late. You've seen Alexei Maranchuk there. You've seen Saba Lobjanidze there. You've seen Luke Brennan there. You've seen a lot of different faces in those positions. Up top, you've seen Maranchuk. You've seen Lotte Lott. You've seen Kamen Togashi in Toronto. He's back now. He was on the bench on Saturday. You've seen a lot of players play. Fafa Pico has been big. Hopefully he's not out for any extended period of time after an injury on Saturday. A lot of players have played. A lot of players have contributed. that increases the mood. And I think the other thing about Saturday that is very, very important before we close out this first segment of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, go back and watch the reactions to the goals. This will sound silly, but this game feeds on emotion. Go watch the reaction to Sabalobe Janidze's first goal. He's almost, he's not apologetic, but he's almost like sheepish because I think he wanted to finish it better, but he also knows he hasn't scored in a while. He was kind of reluctant to really let go and celebrate. Tomas Akob comes over and like puts his hands on Saba's face and like pushes his mouth up into a smile. Tristan Mbeumo and Steon Gregersen are like pointing to the fans to go do the Saba time celebration. So cool. So cool to see that. Latte Lot. And I ask him about it. You can hear it on the Full Time Report on Off the Woodwork, wherever you get your podcasts, and here on the Odyssey app. I ask him what it meant to him to have the bench come running down to celebrate with him, all the subs who were down there. It felt like a game-winning goal. And it was stoppage time in the first half. It was a go-ahead goal, yes. But this team right now, with everybody contributing, everybody part of it, they feel very connected. There's still work to do. They can be cleaner in the buildup. They can control games, I think, a little bit more. I think you've traded a little bit of pure possession as of late to play a little more direct, try to play in behind, which, look, it's working, so absolutely do it. You got to find your balance. Every team has a different calibration for that. Atlanta United right now, I think, is handling a little bit more of the chaos of losing possession a little more frequently, but losing it higher up the field, as opposed to the slower buildup like we saw at the beginning of the Montreal game that you get punished on. I like where this team is going. They've still got to get there. And we're going to find out on Saturday night what that progress is looking like. The LA Galaxy coming to town. It's the last home match before the World Cup break. The Open Cup quarterfinal has been booked for Orlando, and it'll be on Tuesday, May 19th. So Atlanta will play the LA Galaxy here on Saturday at home. Then they'll be on the road for three more games before the break. They will go to Orlando in a league match on the 16th. They will play Orlando in an Open Cup quarterfinal on the 19th. And then they will go to Columbus on May 24th. That will close out this first portion of the MLS schedule. Everybody will get a little bit of a break, except for guys who are going to be part of this little tournament this summer called the World Cup. And then we'll all reconvene on the Atlanta United side in mid-July. This is a good opportunity. Tata Martino has said repeatedly, his goal is to prolong this good moment. Can they take these steps and continue this over four more games before the end of the month? We're all going to find out together on Saturday. Pregame coverage starts at 6:30, kickoff at 7:40. You can listen right here on 92.9 The Game. Coming up next, Josh Blank spoke to local media yesterday in a roundtable. We'll talk about some of the things that we all discussed. World Cup fan experience, what AMBSE controls and doesn't control, what MLS needs to figure out before 2029, NWSL, all of those topics. We'll discuss it together here on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Bienvenidos. Watching a little bit of CONCACAF Champions Cup, Tigres and Nashville in Monterrey. Tigres has the 1-0 lead from the first leg. It's in first half stoppage time. No score tonight. Away goals do matter in CONCACAF. So if Nashville scores twice and it's a 2-2 draw, then they would advance on the away goal tiebreaker. But they got to get one first. They've had their opportunities. They've played very even with Tigres tonight. It'd be huge for MLS if Nashville could duplicate what they did winning in Mexico City, the first MLS team to win at the Estadio Azteca. If they could go to Tigres and get a result, that would be massive. For the league, LAFC and Toluca play tomorrow night. Also, if you have not heard, Atlanta Soccer Tonight is going to go nightly starting on June 1st, getting you caught up on everything World Cup throughout the tournament. June 1st, all the way through the final, I think with one exception due to an Atlanta United match in Nashville, actually. Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Lots of Atlanta Soccer Tonight starting on June 1st. We'll be watching games together at the end of the night. It'll be 10 o'clock almost every night. U.S. men's national team games. We'll get some bonus time. But yes, it is going to be a crazy, crazy summer. That was one of the topics that we talked about yesterday in a local media roundtable with Josh Blank. If you don't know, yes, Josh is Arthur's son. Josh is the VP of Executive Strategy for AMBSC. And we went through, I mean, pretty much everything. There was Atlanta United talk. There was Atlanta NWSL talk, which we'll get to in the next segment. A lot of World Cup talk and a lot of just kind of general MLS and soccer talk. It was very cool for me to hear that Josh's two favorite all-time players are Sergio Busquets, which love that. Busquets is one of the most talented players that I've ever seen in my life. Getting a chance to call Sergio Busquets games over these past few years was crazy to even think about that happening. But also Yaya Toure. It's no surprise that Josh Blank in his playing days played at Elon in college, was a six, was a defensive midfielder. So two of the best of recent times in Busquets and Yaya Toure. Those are Josh Blank's favorite players. That was very cool and totally unexpected. I did not go into this roundtable thinking I would learn that. Big topic is obviously World Cup. And the ticket prices was a topic. Yes, we'll get into that in a second. But here's the thing that I think people are missing in this World Cup conversation. I know we're all fixated on the ticket prices. I've been fixated on ticket prices for major events in all kinds of things for a long time. Whether we're talking concerts, whether we're talking Super Bowls, whether we're talking NFL playoff games, college football playoff games, NBA playoff games, whatever. Tickets can be very, very expensive to big events. And I think it is starting to price out your average fan. anybody expecting the tickets in 2026 to be like they were in 1994, frankly, isn't paying attention. And I think anybody making that argument is being disingenuous. Do I wish that was the case? Absolutely, I wish that was the case. I wish a lot of things. It's not. And sadly, I don't think it's going to go back to that. I think you're getting to the point that being able to go see a whole lot of these major events is going to be really withheld for a smaller portion of the population that have the means to do it. And is that a shame? Yeah, I think it is. Is it something that's going to get reversed anytime soon? No, I don't think that's going to happen. I think we've seen that change, and I hate that it is just accepted at this point, but it's not going away. I wish there would be a thought about some special ticket prices. I mean, we're talking about like regular events, not premium events like a World Cup. But I think of things like the Thrashers used to do a certain number of game day tickets that were at a discounted rate. That was cool. I think some other clubs have done things like that. I think to the musical Rent, where they had a basically like a general admission if you stood in line when tickets went on sale at the box office. And yeah, you had to sacrifice your time and get there early and do all the things to get these specially priced tickets, but I think you got $20 tickets. I know other artists have done those kinds of things for tours and things like that. I wish there was a little bit more of a push for that, being creative, but look, here's the reality when it comes to pro sports. And I know the World Cup is separate and the Olympics in 2028 in LA will be separate, and it's not going to be cheap to go to any of that either. On a usual day-to-day basis, when we're talking about a team, whether we're talking here in Atlanta about the Falcons, about the Braves, about the Hawks, about Atlanta United, the Atlanta Dream, it's going to be hard to get tickets for Atlanta Dream games. Not going to be easy. Atlanta NWSL, all the things. I would love to see more of a push for fans who don't have the money to go to games at the prices they are right now. I'd love to see that. But here's the other thing. Everybody is constantly demanding team owners to spend more money. And in the soccer world, I think this comes up in a different way than it does in the other sports, because you have a global market, and to go get players, you're paying transfer fees, and that costs you money. And in soccer, generally, I know MLS has a salary cap, but there are ways to spend more than other teams. Teams that spend more money win more games. Now, it's not exclusive. San Jose is showing a lot of people right now that they don't have to do that. We'll see how long that lasts. Miami showed last year that they had the best team because they won MLS Cup. Usually, the more you spend, the better talent you have, the more games you win. So, the more money you have to make to be able to spend. This is just the cycle that we're in. But here's the thing. We get fixated on the ticket prices and we get mad that they're not what they were 32 years ago, and that's not happening. But here's the cool thing, and I asked Josh Blank about this yesterday. The fan festival in Centennial Olympic Park, I think it's going to matter in a big way. And Josh Blank said that he thinks it might matter more than the matches themselves for long-term fandom building. He was really specific about it. The fan festival is free. It's going to run 18 days, including non-match days here in Atlanta. It's open to everybody. Yeah, you got to register, and there's going to be capacity, hopefully, because it's full. But the people who show up to the fan festival are self-selecting believers. They want to be part of this. They're longtime fans. They're excited about becoming a fan. They want to be part of the party. Whatever it is, they came because they want to be there. Compare that to the people that will be inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the matches. Now, you're going to have a lot of hardcore fans there. Don't get me wrong. People will sacrifice to buy these tickets and get to see these games. Absolutely, that will happen. And they will be hardcore fans. But also, you're going to have a lot of business attendees. You're going to have a lot of corporate packages. You're going to have a lot of FIFA relationships. You're going to have a lot of people that are there because it's a place to be seen. This is true. The fan festival crowd is the real soccer community and the people who want to be part of that real soccer community. AMBSC is treating that really seriously. There's other fan festivals as well. We know about Decatur Watch Fest. I'm seeing more and more pop up here at the last minute all over the metro area, all over the state. 70,000 people inside the stadium for the matches, for eight matches. 18 days outside. It's free. It's open. I think the long-term soccer identity is going to get built more at the fan festival, more at places like Decatur Watch Fest and other local fan festivals. That's where Atlanta's long-term soccer identity will get built to a different level. Now, ticket prices, I think it's understood. I'm going to reiterate if it's not. The stadium, which, yes, will be known as Atlanta Stadium during the World Cup, sponsorship agreements are overridden during the tournament. That's FIFA. Again, FIFA wants to make their money. FIFA controls the ticket pricing distribution for the World Cup. AMBSC has zero control over that. There's nothing they can do about it. They haven't been asked about it. They don't have access to the reasons why the prices are put at what they are. They don't have any of that data. They can't have an opinion on it. It's unfair to ask them. But what they can do is control the experience in the stadium for a very large part. One of those large parts, and this is always funny because every time there is a major event, whether we're talking a Super Bowl, whether we're talking a Beyonce or Taylor Swift concert, whether we're talking about college football championship game, everybody's always shocked that the fan-friendly pricing that Mercedes-Benz Stadium pioneered, it's in place for these events. It's going to be in place for the World Cup. No question about it. Was never a thought to change that. That is key. That will be in place for all the major events, including hopefully a Women's World Cup in 2031. The game tickets are going to be expensive. The nachos and the hot dogs. No, you can get those at a good price. At least there's that. We talked a lot as well about what this event can be for Atlanta as a whole. And Josh Blank talked about it. He said that, you know, the 96 Olympics are a bit of a reference point for what 2026 can do for Atlanta's global brand. There's going to be people that are in London, that are in Dubai, that are in Madrid, that are now going to hear about Atlanta and hopefully know about Atlanta like they know at New York and LA and Miami. Huge civic ambition. And it kind of works out in an interesting way for AMBSC with the Falcons playing in Spain in Madrid this year. Spain is going to be here for two matches. Their base camp is going to be not too far up the road in Chattanooga. It gives Atlanta and the business community and Spain and Madrid and the business community a year-long connection point to two huge markets and hopefully some shared business, some shared understanding. Very, very cool things. I like that. Lots of other stuff. I'm going to have a lot of coverage of the roundtable and the things we got into because, again, there were a lot of different topics. I'm going to have a lot of that on the SDH network, soccerdownhere.net, at soccerdownhere, wherever you follow on social media. We're going to get into MLS media, what is coming potentially when we talk about MLS broadcast. That was a topic for discussion. The calendar shift, how Atlanta felt and feels about the MLS calendar shift. You know, there's a sprint season early next year before Major League Soccer gets on a new calendar, with the season starting at the end of the summer and ending in the spring. So starting in late July, early August, ending in May. It's a huge change. There's a lot of good reasons for it. Atlanta was one of the proponents for this. We'll talk about all of that the rest of the week on Soccer Down Here. And a lot of it is going to make its way over here to 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, the Off the Woodwork podcast. Make sure you are subscribed to that on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. But coming up next, we're going to stay with the Josh Blank roundtable and some of the topics from it. The NWSL build out. We're going to talk about how Atlanta is building its NWSL team coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Nashville and Tigres scoreless at halftime. Nashville had opportunities but could not find the opening. That actually ties into the segment a little bit. Mauricio Culebro, the new president of soccer for AMBSC. He's going to oversee both Atlanta United and the new NWSL club. He is finishing out this season with Tigres. His current position there are on pace to have a very big year. They're still alive in the Liga MX playoffs, and they are still alive in the CONCACAF Champions Cup semifinals. They've got the lead, 45 more minutes to go at the Estadio Universitario in Monterrey. Keep you updated on that. But we're talking about the media roundtable that Josh Blank had yesterday with local media. Josh Blank, again, if you did not know his title within AMBSC, he's the Vice President of Executive Strategy. And he's been out in front on the NWSL build out a good bit. He spoke at the groundbreaking for the new training facility. The team doesn't have a name yet, doesn't have a crest, logo, head coach, no players yet. it still feels like, I don't know, with a World Cup this year, with a Women's World Cup next year, with the MLS schedule change next year, it feels like 2028 is a long way away. It's actually not. And on the inside of the organization, according to everything that came out of the roundtable, the work to build this club well underway and moving ahead with real intention. And I think that's the key here. Before we talk about Atlanta and NWSL specifically, let's talk about the league itself, because the NWSL in 2026 doesn't even vaguely resemble what it was when AMBSE first evaluated a women's professional soccer team. I think the statute of limitations has passed at this point. I remember sitting down with Darren Eels, I believe it was 2019. And having a conversation, we were talking about other things in general. He wanted to pick my brain on Atlanta soccer history a little bit and how Atlanta United could fit into that. And then we talked about NWSL's possibility and talked about what happened with the Atlanta Beat, the two versions of that. You know, was it successful? And the first one was, the second one wasn't. The league in the second one was a little more disjointed by the time Atlanta came into it. Lots of different reasons for that. And the first Atlanta Beat in the WUSA, they were one of the top clubs in the league. And they drew extremely well playing at both Bobby Dodd and at Herndon Stadium over at Morris Brown. So 2019, there was talk internally, at least, about it. I can say very specifically with direct memory of it, 2020, the home opener for Atlanta United, the last game with a full stadium for a long time. It was before the trip to Mexico City and before the league shut down during the COVID season. Arthur Blank joined Mike Conti and I on the pregame show, and without us asking and without us knowing it was going to be said, Arthur spoke about them exploring bringing an NWSL team to Atlanta. So that was March of 2020. So there were conversations back then. Now, remember, in 2020, the league was dealing with a whole lot of different things. You can go back and read a lot about it. There were some things that were massive and needed to be fixed inside the league, talking about safe sport, talking about all kinds of very, very bad things that were going on that weren't being dealt with. There were also other just business things that the league needed to fix to grow. NWSL is one of the leagues, one of the sports properties that came out of COVID in a stronger position. They got back on the field pretty quickly with their NWSL Challenge Cup that they did in a sort of bubble kind of situation that other leagues then found ways to mimic. MLS did, the NBA did. So then from there, look, the business changed. Angel City came into the NWSL and paid $2 million for a franchise. Atlanta reportedly paid $165 million. Columbus, coming in the same year as Atlanta, reportedly paid over $200 million. So the league's in a really different spot. Now, that process to go from a $2 million expansion fee to $165 late last year, the valuations of teams, of the business, the evaluation of the business of the NWSL was probably really hard to follow from 2020, coming out of COVID, once the teams got back on the field, to 2025. I mean, it was probably fluctuating a lot. There were still a lot of unknowns. I think just from a general AMBSE business side of things, you're trying to recoup losses from your other businesses during COVID. You're probably not looking to massively expand and pay that kind of an expansion fee and join a league. Maybe there were more questions about what the success could be at that point. Well, those are gone now. The NWSL opened the year with a TV deal that covers CBS Sports, ESPN, Prime Video, ION, Victory Plus. First game for the Denver Summit at Empower Field at Mile High, over 63,000 people there. Forbes recently valued Kansas City Current at $325 million, just below Angel City, who's in the 300, I think 365, if I remember correctly. The average franchise value in the NWSL is now $134 million. 5 years ago, it was under $20 million. So Atlanta's not jumping into an unproven bet at this point. They're joining a league that is a big business. They're building for it accordingly, as Arthur Blank has talked about. So Mauricio Culebro is in place as the president of soccer for AMBSC. Deandra Duggins, formerly of the Las Vegas Aces, she is your chief business officer. Josh Blank broke a little bit of news yesterday saying that a CFO is expected imminently. The chief soccer officer for the NWSL team, the Chris Henderson role on the NWSL side, that search runs through the summer. The goal is having somebody in place by the end of the World Cup on the men's side. Once that CSO, the chief soccer officer, is in place, then you can start talking coaching search. Then you can start talking about players. The target is a substantial front office by the end of this calendar year, significantly more staff being added through 2027. You've got the groundbreaking done on the training facility. That design, that build out, it's future proofed. You've got locker rooms planned for an eventual academy. Long range thinking, not just trying to get something up and get a team on the field. The brand identity, that is going to arrive this fall. Name, crest, logo, colors, all unveiled before the year's out. That gives this new club an entire 2027 to build brand equity before the first whistle. Atlanta United did that. Remember, the Atlanta United brand came out in 2015 in the summer. The unveiling got spoiled a little bit by reporters who found it out, and that was kind of crazy, but it didn't damper any of the enthusiasm for it. And you then started to see the red and black stripes, and you started to see the A, and you started to hear about Atlanta United everywhere. And then whenever a player was signed, whenever a coach was signed, whenever anything happened with the team, the name got put out there. So I think it's so important to have that brand done right, and out there with so much time to grow. Speaking of growth, the Georgia pipeline on the player side is already there. According to Josh Blank, 21 players from Georgia currently in the NWSL, the fourth highest total of any state in the country. That's going to be part of this club's identity in a meaningful way. Also, AMBSC has been surveying founding NWSL members, the broader Mercedes-Benz Stadium database. Yeah, Atlanta United fans as well. I'm trying to understand what people want from this team, how they want them to show up, how they want them to arrive. And they're not guessing at this. They're building it on real data, and they're going to have an attack-minded kind of team, which is not a surprise. That's been the conversation about Atlanta United from day one. You can't guarantee that teams score a lot of goals, but you can build a team that strives to score a lot of goals and be an exciting attacking team. And that sounds like that's the idea here with the NWSL team as well. Something worth underscoring here from this roundtable. Josh Blank echoed what Arthur Blank has been consistent about since the beginning. The NWSL launch is a business investment. It is not a charity project. $330 million total investment. Expansion fee, training ground, all of the other things that have to be built out. This is business. Huge front of the shirt deal from Aflac. I think this is the next step for professional women's sports. And I want this to be understood the right way. We all, I think, in sports, and those of us who have worked in, whether we're talking grassroots, school-based sports, and seen the power of it beyond the business side, I think if you've seen the power of sport, if it's changed your life in a meaningful way, if you've been involved in using it to change other people's lives, if it's changed people's lives close to you, you understand that, yes, we want to have a women's professional soccer team for all of the feel-good reasons. 100%. And that's how NWSL got to the point that it became a big business. And the WNBA, same thing. You had people who were willing to spend the money at the times and invest and know that There's not going to be a big business return anytime soon, but this is the right thing to do, and it should be done, and the power of sport has real value, even if it isn't strictly in dollars and cents. That is now in the past when we talk about women's professional sports and top-level college sports, for that matter. It's a business, and that's not a bad thing. I think that's a good thing, because players are going to make more money. We've seen this come up in the WNBA with the recent CBA, where the salary cap went up over four times what it was previously. That wasn't out of the kindness of people's hearts. That's because the money's there, because it's been run as a business. All of the math that is going on at AMBSC on the business of the NWSL, now you've got Atlanta coming in, investing, expecting to be competitive on the field, which will mean people buying tickets, which will mean sponsors, which will mean, I think, in the women's game very soon, it's not going to be the same kind of money that you see in the men's game, but yes, developing players, buying and selling players. Yes, your Chelsea's, your Arsenal's, your Manchester City's, your Barcelona's, your PSG's, Leones, Real Madrid, your big clubs around the world are going to want to buy players that are developed by Atlanta's NWSL team. And Atlanta's NWSL team is going to want to buy players from those clubs as well. The business of this has grown so much, so quickly, and it's not going to go the other way. I think there is still this completely incorrect theory, myth, whatever, lie, and maybe it's the best way to put it at this point, that WNBA teams don't make any money and NWSL teams don't make any money. Well, it's not true anymore. Is it the same level of business as the NBA right now? No, and it's a league that started a lot later than the NBA did. Same for MLS when we talk about the Premier League. You're making money now. To me, the question is not, is that going to continue and how do you want to grow it? To me, the question is, how aggressive do you want to be to grow it fast or grow it slow? Because the game is growing on both the men's and the women's side. That's going to continue to go up. How hard do you want to hit that accelerator to make it go up faster and create more opportunities for female players to thrive, to succeed, to become role models, to become superstars, and to have their lives in this game that they love and we all love, and have that continue where players then become media personalities or coaches or front office personnel or directors of soccer. Those are the next steps. Those are the next big things. It is exciting where this is going, and it's exciting that Atlanta is going to be part of this with the NWSL. And it was very exciting yesterday to hear from Josh Blank and hear how intentional this build out has been going with the NWSL team. I'm excited for more. I can't wait to see what the brand, colors, logo, all of that's going to look like. We'll know before the year is out. But coming up next, another new brand and somebody that we know very well, Carlos Bocanegra, formerly of Atlanta United. He's got a new project coming up on the youth soccer side, and talking about being intentional, he's got some very specific ideas about it. I had a chance to catch up with him yesterday. You will hear our conversation with Carlos Bocanegra on the other side of the break on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
What is Toyota affordability? It's buying smart. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has great deals available on some of the most reliable trucks on the market, like the off-road ready Tacoma, rugged full-size Tundra, and the legendary 4Runner, each with the space, tech, and features to handle it all, from the worksite to the trails. It means driving for less with efficient hybrid options available, extending your overall driving range and delivering great MPGs, meaning bigger savings at the pump without sacrificing power. And it means trading for more. The Tacoma and Tundra are ranked number one and number two in resale value over all vehicles, according to Kelley Blue Book, which can mean thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.